Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Arr, ahoy, crew members. Today's show is a service of our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this show. Thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We have a very special opening to the show today, a real treat for us, because we like to talk to people that are on the Magic Box, and this is a very, very popular show. Naked and Afraid premieres this Sunday, October 4th at 10 p.m. on the Discovery Channel, and we are joined by one of the two naked people. Kim Kelly is joining us. Kim, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're great. Let me just, before we get started here, let me ask you this question. Right now, currently, are you either naked or afraid right now?
I'm a little afraid.
There is no need to be afraid. We are all friends here. Kim is going to be featured in the premiere episode on Sunday, October 4th. She is 23 years old. Are you currently, it says on your bio you are single, but things change quickly when you're 23. Are you still single, Kim?
No.
You didn't get married to the guy that was on the desert island with you or anything
Gary.
Like that, did you?
Gary.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. That's
wow.
That's good. But you are you back in Utah now?
I am, yeah. I'm back in Moab.
Moab. That is such a strange, it's almost a Middle Eastern sounding name. Moab, Utah is where Kim is from. And is it as small town as it sounds? Moab, Utah?
Small. It's like 10,000 population.
10,000 people. Mm. So I got a lot of questions about this show. I know Oscar's a big fan, and I'm just curious. I think the first time that I heard Naked and Afraid, I think a lot of people, I was thinking this was going to be all about the nudity, but it's really not. It's more about the reality challenge of dumping you guys out in a harsh environment, and you
survival.
Have to survive
yes.
for 21 days, in this case, in the Panamanian jungle. And really, for those of you that are out there that are thinking of tuning in just for the naked factor, well, I'd like to enlighten you as to the fact that there is this wonderful technological device used by these networks called pixelization.
Yes.
So you're really not going to get the thrill that you might be seeking on this. But I'll tell you, I watched some clips from this, and I will tell you the first thing that comes to mind is bugs. That would be, to me, bugs would be the number. You have nothing on your body is covered. You don't even have shoes. Is that the biggest challenge, is dealing with insects, especially when you have to sleep at night?
Oh, yeah. It definitely degrades your mentality. That was one of my biggest challenges. It was something that I would consider tapping out for. It's very bad.
How did you get the gig? How did you figure, hey, this is something I want to do. I want to go on national television and be naked, surrounded by bugs in the Panamanian jungle. How did you pursue this?
That part actually wasn't really dreamt up by me. I always kind of fantasized what it'd be like to be out and away for long periods of time and not like run into a store or, you know, like people, I guess.
With clothes or without clothes?
And I went with it.
So do you, when this comes your way, I'm just kind of the process, how does it come your way? Are you reading the Moab, Utah Times, and suddenly you see an ad, naked person wanted for TV show?
Do you see the show, and you say, I want to be on that show?
How's it happen?
I had no idea about the show, but I did see a flyer at work, and it really piqued my interest. So I went through like a series of interviews and had to really show that I wanted to be there, you know?
What did the flyer say? I mean, how general was it?
I can't quite remember. It's been about a year now, but it was like kind of challenging you. Like, do you think you have what it takes to go out and really test yourself against all elements?
And you're an outdoorsy. Obviously, from that part of the world, rural Utah, you're outdoorsy. You've had experience with this. Do you mind? It's not in your bio. I didn't know where this is where I shouldn't go. But I mean, where did you work? Where you saw the flyer? We'd never put a flyer like that in our studio because nobody would be qualified.
No.
Believe it or not, I was working at a convenience store where I saw that.
That oh, is
really?
Awesome.
Oh, wow. My God. That is awesome.
So somebody, just a rando, came in and popped that up on the bulletin board at the local 7-Eleven? Is that the way that worked?
Pretty much. It was in pink, so it was kind of hard to pass by.
Did the cop, and you're on the you're in this jungle with the Gary Underhill is the name of the guy you're with. He's an ex-cop, and you guys have to learn to survive together. And I mean this only the best possible way. There's a clip. We've only seen two clips. Right. One is when you're drinking water from a coconut that fell into your crotch. And then the other one is when you see old Gary dropping trow and hopping off and jumping into the water and meeting you on the island. What is that first experience? Is that the very first? Do you have any kind of naked man sensitivity training before you go into this exercise? Or do you just see this guy's wiener immediately when he jumps off the boat? I'm just kind of, what's that reaction? When you first see, because you know you look, right? You have to look, right?
Natural.
Yeah.
I actually didn't look immediately.
You didn't.
It's
you didn't
a
look.
To take in. I just see like a naked man coming towards me. I mean, I'm kind of more or less sizing him up as opposed to like looking
sizing
down.
Up.
If that makes sense.
You were looking at his overall physicality and what kind of survivor he would be as opposed to looking. And that's a female thing.
That's
I can totally buy that. So what was the first impression when you saw Gary?
He was really shy. When we first made eye contact, he looked down, so I kind of saw that as, like, timid. But generally, he was high energy, really excited, really nice.
Now, when you first saw him, I mean, we just saw clips, and I know they edit television, but did he seem a little eager to get the hug out of the way?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to be, like, top on his list. Whereas you might be trying to make fire or find fresh water. He says, come on, bring it in.
I have a quick question.
It was
for Kim.
Our main priority at the time.
Kim, what struck me was not just the bugs, but actually just walking barefoot. When you're walking barefoot and you're doing it for 21 days.
Oh, on rocks.
Mm-hmm. How do you, that's got to be some sort of support, some sort of protection for your feet because they're so important for you to survive. How did you start managing that type of issue? Because I saw that. I said, oh, man, she's looking for coke and she's still barefoot. She can't get water. What are they going through? How did you manage that?
Honestly, I would put this tough foot serum on the bottom of my feet that they use on dogs.
Wow.
And I would go and jog towards our local swimming hole every day to just, like, toughen it up. And, yeah, they actually felt like dog paws when I got out. It was weird walking on linoleum. Like, it was
That's
so
a good
different.
Question, a good answer. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that
I like
is
the
so
fact
cool.
That you do that. So overall, the experience, it's in the can now. We're all going to be able to see it starting on October 4th. What was the best part and the worst part of the experience? Tell me what the best part was.
The best part was definitely when I had success with making my fire.
Cool.
Well, that's
that was
neat.
Great. Mm. It was epic.
And what was the worst part about the whole experience?
The worst part, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say, to give away the show or not.
Okay, don't give away the show, but
safe
I'd
answer
like to,
would be the hug.
And I'm sorry you're not single because we've got a guy that would be a great date for you, and he works for us. His name is Pony Boy Matt Bloom, and he would be a wonderful. Well, I think you two would get along beautifully. The show is Naked and Afraid. Its season's premiere is this Sunday, October 4th at 10 p.m. on Discovery. I guess we'll know a lot more about you when the show airs, and good luck with everything. Are you back in Moab working at the convenience store, or are you on to bigger and better things now?
Bigger and better.
There you go. Nice.
I believe that.
Nice.
Okay, thanks so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye, Kim.
Yep.
Thank you, Kim.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
And there are a couple things about me you ought to know first. I drive kind of recklessly. I take a lot of chances. I never repair my vehicles, and I don't believe in traffic laws. So I tend to have quite a high number of traffic accidents. And last week, I either ran over a sheep or I ran over a small man wearing a sheepskin coat. And I don't know because I didn't stop. I do not stop when I have a traffic accident. Do you? Huh? Do you? No, you can't. Hey, who has time? Not me. I hit somebody, I run somebody over. I keep moving. Especially if I've injured someone. I do not get involved in that. I'm not a doctor. I've had no medical training. I'm just another guy out driving around looking for a little fun, and I can't be stopping for everything.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Coming to you live from the Cappy Pfeiffer studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. Our show today is brought to you by DoorDash. Have you ever been to your favorite restaurant and said to yourself, I want this food, but they're not going to deliver it. I don't feel like going out to the restaurant. I want to stay home, and I want them to bring it to me. I've got news for you. There is a place now that does that for you. If you crave it, you can have it delivered with DoorDash.com. That's right, DoorDash. High-quality food from your favorite spot, on time and still hot.
Mm.
DoorDash is a game changer. Local favorites, national chains, anything from Vietnamese to Froyo to barbecue. If you crave it, DoorDash will bring it to you. And best of all, they deliver from places that don't deliver. All kinds of restaurants from across the city and around in the surrounding suburbs. We love it. I'm talking Taco Bell, Cheesecake Factory, Five Guys, Guapos.
Mm.
Boy, every time I know that they have a gazillion restaurants that they work with that they deliver from.
Right.
But somehow every time I'm going to mention them, the name Guapos, I don't think I could get them to deliver from the Manassas Guapos up here to Maine. Although if I could, I would. But if you live in the D.C. area or anywhere around the country, you can get DoorDash to deliver to you. And no tipping. That's another good thing. Order on demand or up to 5 days in advance. The choice is up to you. Try it out today. Here's an exclusive offer for our listeners. DoorDash is giving you $10 off your first order. That's like getting a free lunch. What do you have to lose? Just go to DoorDash.com and enter the promo code TMOS at checkout. DoorDash.com. Enter TMOS at checkout and get $10 off your order. This is a no-brainer. Try DoorDash for lunch or dinner today. I tried so hard to make that interesting. Oscar asked a really good question about what's on her feet, and then it was just like, best experience, worst experience, and these were, you know, those are. It's as simple as it gets when you ask a question like that. Like if you said, "What's the best thing about doing the show, Mike?" I would say it's the listeners. It's interacting with listeners and actually getting the feedback from them and knowing that they hear. What's the worst thing? Worst thing is dealing with behind the scenes issues and technical problems. Some people, I guess, are used to answering those questions. Others are not. She seemed a little more defensive than someone I would have expected that is naked on national television. I don't know what
I got from it is I think she won and she was scared to death to reveal anything about it. I don't know anything about the show. I just seen the clips that are online.
You've watched the show, Oscar, right?
Yeah. I think I honestly, from our days on the radio, and I'm sure you guys remember that the show in itself is. It's just a fun train wreck to watch.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's not just about them being naked. You kind of get past that the next first five minutes of the show.
Yes.
What you get to is how the F they're going to really survive, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And the thought that when I saw her walking on the pebbles.
Some of them are like boulders.
Yeah, boulders to find coconut water to drink to survive. I said, how the F can you walk around in 21 days to actually survive that way, right? You have to have cuts. You have to have bleeding. The fact that she would run barefoot and put the spray her that she almost made her feet pause is phenomenal.
Can I tell you what my theory is?
Yes.
I think that perhaps it's a lot of instinct because I don't think it requires a tremendous amount of real deep thought.
Mm,
okay.
That's just, I don't know why I'm formulating that appearance.
Just
that
your
opinion,
thought.
But
you're
I think,
going with your
it's
gut.
Just my, I think it requires a lot of immediate reaction to what's right in front of you, not necessarily planning that far out. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, Naked and Afraid is a great show. There's another show I watch on Cinemax. It's called Naked and Aroused, and it's also very good. And they
later on in the evening,
they never talk about their feet.
Early morning,
ever.
But to my point earlier, those things are easy for them to say. But I think Rob's right where They're so scared of giving away what they can't
well,
talk
I know
about.
We're talking. You know what? Perhaps it's me. Perhaps I'm a little rusty because I've been out of the game with interviews for a while.
It's nice to have an interview. It's nice to have an interview.
It's nice to have an interview. No, it's not. But anyway, it's great to hone those skills and to be back in the game. And I remember all those times when we would piss people off on the old shows because I've never been able to just move on and
how
not
do you
say
build
that,
a relationship.
You know, well, no, you know, I don't need a relationship, buddy. I don't need that. I don't need it that bad. I really don't. I truly don't. It's not like maybe we won't get the cop, but you know what? That's fine. It's A-okay. So how are you boys anyway?
Never better.
I'm a little frustrated. I'm not going to lie.
Why are you frustrated? Tell me the truth.
Well,
tell
because I guess on my end, for 5 years now, we've been trying to get a legit network to call us back and have a guest on the program.
Well, we have. Now, in fairness to us, we have. Don't make it sound like this is the first time that we've had, you know, we've had multiple guests on. And so you can't, don't paint with that broader brush because then you're turning it on us.
I understand
your frustration. And if you'd like to pull back the curtain, I would find it very therapeutic and I won't interrupt you again.
I think we need to, yes.
Okay.
Because... for 5 years now, we've been trying to get some sort of pipeline of guests. They can't be all be A-list.
Right.
They can't all be old friends of the show because I think we've tapped that well.
Yes.
And we have tried a new strategy here on the program.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And for the times that Pony or Rob Ford or A-Train, our new intern, have called, especially Rob Spiewak with his red face and empty hands every week when we talk about this.
Right.
Comes back and has nothing. We finally,
you let it out, Oscar.
We finally
let it out.
Tried
yourself.
A new approach.
I understand. And, yes, I know. And then, and I just pooped right in your hand.
No,
about
but if you
it.
Don't
but, you
like
know,
the
I couldn't
new
help myself.
If you don't, Mike, the beautiful part about this show is it's honesty, right? It's absolute
true.
Honesty.
Yes, it is. And so it's not all the things you're talking. With the bottom line, I don't want to go into too much detail about it. But we have put some feelers out, and people are assisting us,
right.
With bookings, and we're happy about that. The bottom line is, no matter what assistance you get, you're occasionally going to get one like that. And about halfway through, I'm just sitting there going, I got to talk about it. Because have I done worse interviews? Yes, I probably have. But that's way up there, you know, with just the lack of answers, but the lack of any awareness of how to give an answer. That was frustrating for me. But you're right. Nothing's going to change on that. I'm very happy, and I hope the pipeline continues. It's just we tried a new service, as it were.
Yes,
sure.
It were. And that's the first. So I can imagine it's probably more frustrating for you than it is for me. I'm making fun of it. That's all I'm doing.
Well, I guess my point is, if the service isn't working now, is it ever going to work? Because I'd hate to go through this every time the service provides something that isn't a 10.
I'm filled with all sorts of emotions now. Not really. I'm not upset at all. I'm just filled with a flashback. I'm having kind of a flashback.
Well,
listen, we did not book that person because we wanted a relationship. We booked that person because
we
were like, hey,
them on.
Megan and Afraid might be kind of interesting.
Big premiere coming up this weekend. It seemed like it might
be
great.
Big premiere, and a lot of people watch the show. It might be interesting to talk to. I you know what? Every interview I do, and I've never told you guys this,
please.
But there's always something that I want to get. I did get one part of that, and it wasn't my question.
Okay.
Every interview I do, I want to learn something. I want to learn something that I would not have learned from, if I didn't talk to that particular person. And up until the foot thing, putting the goo on the
dog
feet
paws.
To have dog paws, I wasn't really learning anything.
I don't know. I learned that they cast reality shows on flyers.
Mm-hmm. In convenience stores.
The same way you find the owner of a lost dog. Couldn't you just see the pink flyer with the phone numbers cut into strips on the bottom and you rip off one? And I thought that was fascinating.
You know, there's so much out there now, and has the pendulum swung back a little bit, or are they still churning out? It seems to me they're still churning out more and more of these reality programs.
Well, I think the reality shows have fallen away from the big networks, though. You find your reality shows on your cable networks, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, they're cheap to produce. Outside of Survivor, you see some more scripted dramas and comedies now coming back.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
You're saying, Mike, you're sounding like you're above this Naked and Afraid. No, I'm not. I'll watch that show. I love that show, and I bet it's fascinating. The clips we saw of the show were fantastic.
It's technically a mini Survivor.
The holy grail of reality show guests that I have been struggling for years. I wanted Anthony Bourdain when he was on the Travel Channel,
right.
And now he's on CNN. I got Anthony Bourdain, and it was a great interview, and he had a lot to say. The holy grail of reality contestants, I've always believed, is Brandi Glanville from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And to my chagrin, I found out that this young lady has been, I guess she might not be coming back next year.
Oh.
She, along with Kim Richards, they are out of there, and they're not. There's speculation as to whether she was canned or whether she chose not to come back.
Well, I think we know why Kim Richards won't be coming back. She might not be physically able to come
back.
Total
train wreck.
But Glanville, I thought, was one of the big draws to the show.
She is the big draw. She's the complete.
Maybe she's playing hard to get.
She's the evil genius of the show. She's
hard
the one that
to get, Mike.
Yeah, she's very, very. Yeah, right? I don't know what's happening.
Doesn't she have
that,
a book she needs to promote? Why don't we get our service on that?
She is giving. You know what?
I'd be so excited.
She might be pulling a Harry Shearer. What do you think?
Yeah, trying to up the
price. Ante, because she's important to the show.
That same service, he said, look, we're going to start with this. This is, I know, just kind of a starting point. But the same pipeline brings guys like Andy Cohen. I know you love him because he does all the shows. He does after shows.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what I think the beauty of this is. This is a building block.
Mm-hmm. Oscar's gently telling me that I should just chill out a little bit about it.
No.
And isn't all that gentle?
You tell me what more can I do for you. What more can I do for you? You tell me.
And I feel as though when I react like that and I say duh and I say mean things that I shouldn't, but I just can't help myself.
The beauty of this program.
You're a bad little boy.
We're not
going
to lie. We're not going to lie.
You know what? Can't lie.
In tip of the cap to my partner from years ago, Don Geronimo, when we both felt the same way about that, and it was one of the most liberating feelings when you would be struggling through an interview with some guest that maybe didn't want to be there. And I thought this young lady didn't fall into that category.
No.
But we would have some interviews where you would have someone on the show and you are just trying to move it along, and you're trying to get something out of it. And if you ever hear an interviewer, which we had said on that old show, I said it on my show, do you want to be here? Do you have any desire to do this whatsoever? Because sometimes it would go that way.
I imagine,
And the worst would be when it would go that way in studio.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you, for the junior podcast broadcasters out there, if you're ever going to interview a comedian, Here's a real tip. Probably not a good idea to bring a comedian in with another comedian. That might be one of the worst things you could ever do on a show. I did it multiple times on the old Mike O'Mara show on the radio. Maybe it's why it's not on the radio anymore. But no, the fact is, I will never forget when we have had so many wonderful conversations with Patton Oswalt, who is a brilliant comedian.
A 10.
The day he came in to the studio with that guy, Brian Posehn, that pile of goo that came into the studio, that was another 15, 20 minutes that I could never get back. Because it was just horrible. He sucked the energy out of the room.
Do you have any, past 30 years, do you have any A-listers that you remember in studio that were just insufferable? One that pops
I go
to
back
mind.
all the way to Jermaine Jackson, way back in the day when he was still relevant, when Michael Jackson was still alive and all that. And he came in and he was still the Bipolar Award. And I don't know whether she has this this problem, but we did two. And it was probably me being bipolar.
Right.
We did two totally different interviews with Natalie Cole back in the day.
Really?
One where she came in and she could not have been more charming. And the other one where she came in, she was a totally different person.
Bitch
and
on wheels.
I'm not sure. I am not sure what caused that. I'm really, really not sure. One of the greatest, and he'd been out the night before and he was tired, was Patrick Swayze.
Remember that one.
Oh, he came. He was so hysterical. I think he was hungover, but he was hysterical.
What I remember about that, and simply as a listener, I was just listening at home. I remember it seemed that he was so tired that he had no filter. If it was on his mind, it was out his mouth, and it was great.
We had,
and they don't have to be nice.
We had the Hulkster Hulk Hogan on the program.
Yeah,
and how did that go?
And well, this is a phoner, and he, in the middle of the conversation, and you know, for as far as Big O and Dukes is concerned, Chad's like a mark for wrestling, regardless, right? Regardless of his fame outside of it,
absolutely, has a wrestling show, right?
But he, out of the blue, you hear a helicopter landing. On a helipad. He was doing the interview on a helipad, and his helicopter was arriving, and he wanted to continue doing the interview. And
on the copter? And
he was saying, brothers, hold on. And we're like, no, we can't hear you. How dare you call Market 8 a top 10 market on a helipad, you jerk.
Oh, that is so funny.
The worst thing that, and a lot of things, you know, when those interviews started to be routinely done on cell phones, it was,
continue the conversation on the helicopter because he couldn't be bothered.
The cell phone really changed everything. How many guests say, I'm on a cell phone, but we're driving into the valley, so it should be okay. I say, hey, how you doing here?
This marks a new chapter in the program.
Absolutely.
Legitimately, we are evolving as a show.
We are indeed, and ever forward. On that note, we will take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, it's I want to talk pumpkin everything.
Boo.
I want to talk pumpkin because, I heard a boo. I might be with you on that one. We'll take a break, come back with more. This is the Mike O'Mara Show.
On the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Can I just interject being the lefty of the group?
Yeah, please.
It is the worst when you are signing autographs on a glossy photograph.
Here we go.
I'm not trying to say poor, pitiful me, but I'm saying I would quite often, if I was signing multiple autographs on a picture, I would have to always be mindful of this part of my hand right
Mike,
here.
Mike, we know you're famous.
Well,
you
no, but I mean, I'm just talking about
that.
He was just
money?
Saying that you smear
is
Sharpie.
Is it hard to count money?
You.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Oh, man, I can't wait. It's almost time. The Mike O'Mara Mad Fox meet and greet. Got to get the old hand ready for the autographs.
Yeah. Don't smear him, Mike.
boy, do you realize it's 10 days from Sunday? October 14th.
Yes.
Right here in the nation's capital. Wednesday, October 14th, we are going to be the whole crew I'm talking about. I feel like I sounded like who's the guy in It's a Wonderful Life?
Uncle Billy? Jimmy Stewart?
No, who's the guy in the wheelchair?
Oh,
who's
Mr. Potter.
Lionel Barrymore?
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Because it was just like, I'll tell you, we're going to be, the whole crew, mind you, is going to be at the Mad Fox Brewing Company.
Drinking a beer, you understand, George.
Glover Park Tap Room. Come as you are. Mike, Oscar, Rob, and all the rest meeting, greeting, having a ball. Don't miss it from 6 p.m. till 9. Come spend some time and have a brew with your favorite podcast buddies. All sitting together, mind you. 2218 Wisconsin Avenue Northwest. Got it? Good. Remember, Wednesday, October 14th, 6 p.m. We'll see you at the Mad Fox Brewing Company's Glover Park Tap Room, a place there that Oscar Santana calls his second home.
Yes.
And that'll be the happiest hour you've ever experienced. Come thirsty, leave happy, join, and feel the love.
You know what they say about Oscar? Brightest one in his class, mind you.
Brightest one in his class. Absolutely. First in his class, mind you. Yeah, and then they'll say, Oscar Santana, your ship is coming. I have been staring at, I had a pumpkin moment in the grocery store about a week and a half ago where I was in the beer aisle and I loaded up on pumpkin. I think there's one beer I got from the Shipyard Brewing Company called Pumpkinhead.
Yeah.
And I bought me a ton of that. And then there was the famous Pumpkin Ale. Are you familiar with the Pumpkin Ale?
Pumpkin, baby, Pumpkin.
So I broke it out last night and, I don't think it has anything to do with the pumpkin flavor. What are you playing?
This is the theme from The Great Pumpkin.
Happy October, everybody. I broke it out, and Carl and I are sitting there, and because my eyes are going because of the constant alcoholism, I said,
and
Carla,
masturbation,
would you?
Mike.
Yes, furious. Daily, hourly. I look over at Carl. I said, would you be a dear and read that little number at the bottom and tell me what the ABV is?
Ah.
And because I'd taken a couple of sips, and I felt as though it was already beginning to affect my cerebral cortex.
Ooh. Wow.
And Carlos said it was something like an 8.4 ABV.
Oh, my.
Which is really like just having a hard drink, right?
Yeah, well, it's kind of double, just about double.
Yeah, and Mike, this year's vintage is not as sweet as last year's vintage.
It's not. I was going to say, I love the way I felt drinking it. I didn't enjoy. I mean, I really did. Like, I'm talking about, you guys know I'm a veteran, right?
Yeah.
I had a mug of this stuff, this nectar, and I looked over at Carla. I swear to God, last night on the couch, this is about a half an hour before I actually went to bed, and I looked over and I said, man, I feel really good.
Yeah.
It was the most incredible initial reaction. Yeah. And Carla, you know, being Carla, said, well, it's all going to be downhill from here.
Oh, but you know what? I shoot a pretty good stick with the bottle myself. And what happens if you stay away from an old friend for, say, a year, and then you jump back on, you realize that different brews and different concoctions, different elixirs, they bring on different drunks.
Oh, it was so great. Yeah. It was not even drunk. It was
they affect you differently.
Buzz.
You know what it was?
Because you drink a lot of Miller Lite, and that's just not the same.
You decided to get on a private jet. And you said, you know, I'm just going to cruise over here. I spare no expense.
Right.
We're just going to spend some time on this jet.
The problem was, and you know, the pumpkin comes in those big bottles. And Oscar, you're right.
The bombers.
It's not as spicy, fallish, sweet.
How's the nose on it? Does it still have notes of cinnamon and nutmeg?
No. It seemed like different stuff.
It tastes more like
actual beer. That's a good step for them.
Because that's why I said you would like
this. The last time I bought it, I gave it away.
I like the sweetness.
See, I do too. I like a little sweet.
I like the sweetness,
I like a little sweet. I do. I like the sweet in my beer. I do. But the thing is, the actual kick to it was, in my opinion, more significant.
Oh, yeah.
So much so that I finished the giant bottle, and
the bother.
I would have been fine. I would have been fine, but then I went to the second one.
No,
oh my God!
And
dear.
And halfway through the second one, I just started pouring out the love, writing on the fan page. Thank you for supporting our advertisers. Usually, in a thread that develops after I write a lovey one like that, there'll be the third or fourth guy that'll say, "What is it tonight, Mike?" So they know, and I wrote pumpkin ale, and it was just, you know, because I really did want to say, and I say this now with a clear head somewhat, that I really do thank our listeners for being partners and supporting the advertisers the way they do. I don't think I've ever gotten more feedback from listeners that are supporting the people that advertise on this show. I've never seen it like this, and it is so fantastic to read that. And you do get it, and you understand how we're making this thing go. And I was very, very grateful. And I sent that out in a moment of joy. And it was, it was a little fueled by the pumpkin.
I thought it was sweet.
Ale.
I liked it. I thought it was good. Look at him.
Yeah, peppered with maybe one.
Peppered.
Maybe two pumpkin head. I drank a lot of beer last night. I drank a lot of beer.
You didn't have two big bottles and then
two
more.
Bombers and then a few.
I had one big bottle early. I had another bottle of the pumpkin head, which was half the ABV.
Yeah.
And then,
but how's the flavor on pumpkin head? Is that sweeter?
It's none of that's what I want to ask about. Everything is pumpkin. I think it's a scam. I think that's how they get you. They're cheating us, and I think that's what it's all about, because everything's supposed to be pumpkin, but it's just a pretty little
jack-o-lantern. And you know what? It is so easily marketed. I went into the Giant Food yesterday, Mike, where all the tall people
Giant?
Shop.
Giant?
Yeah, Giant.
Giant.
I went into the Giant, and they had a 4 folding table display in the lobby of all pumpkin crap. Yeah. And it's like so obvious. And it's like new pumpkin cupcakes from Hostess. And I look at them and there's no pumpkin. They're just orange.
Yeah.
It's just orange. And they're playing you as a mark.
It's a mark. It's because as our society as a whole becomes more childlike.
Yes.
And things from our childhood become more relevant to adulthood. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is look at an NFL game and look at the guys that are, you know, painted as like a green and white face running out there and go, you know, we're becoming more. Remember when that was a big deal?
Sure.
Do you remember when you would watch an NFL game and you would say, let's look down on the front row. Oh, well, there's a Jets fan. Half of his the face is painted white. The other half is green. He's having a good time. Now you get 700 guys at a game that are doing that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We love everything childhood. I remember when Halloween was a children's holiday.
Yep.
And then in the 80s, it became Halloween parties became bigger and bigger.
Listen.
Yeah. A lot of whores loved it because the whores would do a lot of blow, Mike, and the whores would dress up like skanky nurses blow. And that's what happened in the 80s.
That was the excuse to party.
Well, didn't read a lot of textbooks.
30 years ago, could you go into would you have like a strip mall, blackout an entire 40,000 square foot warehouse
Halloween
to sell
store.
Adult Halloween costume? You wouldn't have that.
No. And you know what? I've seen photos where there's two on the same block.
Right.
Halloween stores. Bad enough that there's Party City.
Just because like you up know here, what? You got fireworks. Same thing. It's like,
well, we fireworks have a magical allure because they're illegal.
Right.
And that makes them, that gives them a certain sort of, you know, cachet.
Hey, Rob?
Yeah.
Not in Maine.
Not in Maine.
But the visitors, the people from away, they see that and they go, oh, that's something. But the thing about Halloween, bad enough that we have Party City. Which, you know, everything you need at Party City, Mike, you can get in the celebration section.
You guys don't like dressing up.
No.
No. I want to make myself clear, Oscar, because you're right. I want to clarify.
I love dressing
up. I have been
all in. Like a tuxedo, sure.
I have been all in. Love it.
The
I truly love Halloween.
Maybe the Mike O'Mara show had a Halloween party. Or was it the station one we went to?
The station one.
Look, all I know is the Don and Mike show had Halloween parties. The station had big Halloween. I was all in. And I would get dressed up, and I loved it. And I still love it. To be honest with you, you'd have to really sell me on it now. But, I mean, no. I think that I've watched this, though, where it was, you know, it was for kids. And then it just seems now... equal, if not more so, it's for adults getting dressed up and doing silly stuff. But the whole pumpkin thing is related to that.
I agree.
We reflect on Halloween and all that.
And also the evolution of these craft beers, let's be fair as well, right?
And the evolution of the coffee generation. Because, you know, if you go back 10 or 15
pumpkin
years, the pumpkin spice latte is really something now. 10 or 15 years ago, a cup of coffee was something you got at McDonald's. There was no Starbucks. But now Starbucks has a whole thing. And the people that get excited when the pumpkin stuff starts coming out, it's like, 3 days!
Two cases of pumpkin 2 years ago. And unfortunately, that's like anything. It just sours you if you drink that much over a season, right?
Yeah, I could never drink two cases of beer.
This year's pumpkin was too much. It was just, I'm sorry. This year's pumpkin was better than the past, at least for me, because I got tired of the sweetness, as much sweetness as you would get.
It's a novelty.
That now, this year's pumpkin, if you didn't get burned on it, tastes more like beer.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it tasted to me like. It tastes like grain alcohol. That's for sure. That's what I have. But speaking of craft brews, a gentleman reached out to me on Facebook and scolded me in his own little way. Regarding this whole craft beer phenomenon, I will share this with you when we come back because it is filled with information and may be the record holder for the longest personal Facebook message that I have ever received. I will try to locate that and share it with you when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, it's week three of fantasy football. Standing on the sidelines watching your friends play. Did you enjoy that? Well, now it's your turn to get signed up at FanDuel.com. That's right, baby. FanDuel, the trusted leader in one-week fantasy football. I'm already in. I've already got my lineup in.
Damn it. I got to do that.
I do, too. Yeah. I'm not in
there
yet.
There were 50 slots left. I mean, there are 150. Yeah. I mean, no, let me go there right now. Hold on. Let me check
not
it out.
Not okay.
Not okay.
Hurry.
Hold on. Let me go.
They took my bid. I put a dummy slot in and lineup in just to get in, and then
I'm going in right now. Let me see. 207 entries in our 250. Do we have 250 this week?
I think so.
250, baby.
Or was that two? I thought we had 200. I think we might be sold out already.
I'll tell you in a second, Mike.
I'm not sure.
They don't oversell like an airline. It's not like they've sold 207 slots in a 200 league.
Mike, I'll let you know. Continue with the spot.
74 hours, 3 minutes, and 47 seconds till game time, everybody. Building a team is easy, even if you're a rookie. Just pick your players. Stay under the salary cap and sit back on Sunday and watch your team win. Entries start at just $1. During week two this season, Mike F. from Pittsburgh turned $7 into nearly $9,000. I watched the guy win $1 million last week. They've got tons of people winning. Anyone can play. All of us play, and you can compete against Mike, Rob, and Oscar by going to FanDuel.com/TMOS. $5 buys a lot of fun. Just go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use our code TMOS, and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use the code TMOS. Just remember to enter TMOS. Please do that.
Please.
A lot of people are doing this, so we want to get the credit. TMOS at FANDUEL.com. FanDuel, where every day is a new season. Sign up today. Are you in?
Mike, it's a 250-person league. You're right.
Okay.
Well, we have enough space. Just get on it.
Get on it.
Yeah, it's Thursday, guys. You have to you have to rock and roll.
And speaking while we're talking real quick, Mike, are you willing to guarantee a win?
I'm going to pocket this week the $300 top prize.
Woo!
I'm going to pocket that. Because I have a secret weapon, and I'm not going to share it with you. I'm not going
to
share
it. Well, the secret to success is hard work.
Yes. By the way, not only am I in the Mike O'Mara League, I'm also in the $500,000 Sunday NFL Super Bankroll Booster.
Whoa.
Yes, sirree, baby. Wow. And I'm in the $100,000 Sunday NFL Big Double.
Well,
yeah, with the same lineup.
Pony,
yes,
with his new system, prepare best of for Tuesday.
You got it.
Because he will not be here.
And by the way, everybody, I just, I'll give you a little
tip.
Sure.
Okay. You ready? A little guy named Jeremy Macklin. There it is. I said it. There it is.
He's going to go crazy about that right now. That's going to shift the market.
All right, let me get over to Facebook and see if I might have angrily deleted it. But
why would you be angry?
Because he was being dickish, and I don't like dickish.
And people should know, when you talk craft beer, it's not the same people that make the marshmallows. This is this is craft beer with a C. And this is the small pockets of usually independent breweries that make these wonderful, boutique beers that have really taken the market by storm. Oscar
boutique.
Is a huge fan.
God, and, do I get a lot of
or
messages.
You know what? At Halloween time, boutique.
Boo.
Boo.
I'm looking,
boo indeed.
I'm looking right now.
That is not okay.
Hey, you know what's sad is when you've gambled so much that your FanDuel balance is $4 and all you need is $5 to end up.
I'm right behind you, pal. I am right behind you.
Right now, Oscar is looking to go in partners with someone on a team.
Somebody give me $1.
I need a dollar.
I'm really trying. I'm really sorry that I don't organize my thoughts better before I come
and Mike,
on the show.
Mike, this is the beauty of the program, man.
Yeah,
you never know what you're going to get. You just don't.
Life is like a box of chocolates. And you never know what you're going to get.
Adrian, or A-Train, do you mind letting me know? Right now I have my card in my hand so I can put the extra dollar into my account on FanDuel. Can you see the screen that's to the right of me on the actual Ustream? Because I don't want to give my card number in my login out. No.
Nope.
Oh, for those people that are watching on video?
Those trolls want to get to my account, let me tell you.
And you don't want to enlarge the screen and zoom in on Oscar's fingers right now.
No, you don't want to do that.
Or dust that keyboard for fingerprints.
Anyway, feel like an NFL coach. I'm covering up the keyboard.
The password is pizza.
Pizza
1111.
Pizza pepperoni.
I'm looking. Mike, hold on just a second.
It's big money, man. Big money time.
You know what I think? I bet you deleted it because you were mad. That's what I bet. You would have found it by
now. I don't delete messages on Facebook, though. I really don't.
Mm. Like he was intoxicated or anything.
Maybe you're hammered and said,
screw him.
Carl, give me another drink.
Everyone doing their Dan Von Herman impression.
Does he really get like that?
When he tries to keep up with me, he does.
What does he do?
Well, when I was down in Savannah.
This is Katie's
husband. Yeah, we were down there. The family was visiting, and I bought a nice bottle of rye. And we were going with a few shots of rye and really enjoying it. And we got to a point where we were having the kids go and refill the glass for us. And finally, I said, Dan, what do you think of this? I know you're not a brown liquor guy.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said, Dan, I know you're not a brown liquor guy. How do you like this rye? And he looked at me and he went, Katie says he likes it and he's had enough.
All right. I'm going to share this. Here's what I get. This is just my world, guys. This is what I deal with occasionally. This comes from Tim O'Day. He writes, hi, Mike.
Hello,
hey,
Mike. How are you?
Says, hey, Mike, you're effing killing me with the Northeast and craft bruise. I have been listening to you since 1993, the year I graduated college, University of Washington. Washington at the time was a tavern state because the state had heavy restrictions and requirements for bars, and in Seattle, bars. There literally was a tavern on every corner. I worked in a tap room during my last 2 years of college and had probably 10 go-to pubs within 1 mile of my home.
Wow.
This guy takes it seriously, yeah. But he's an Irishman.
True.
My favorite brewery is Full Sail from Hood River, Oregon. The amber is the S. In Seattle, we had Red Book, Pyramid, Full Sail, Anchor, Deschutes, Sierra Nevada, Alaskan, Lost Coast, and so many others that I have forgotten the names available on tap at all time. Pilsners, Ambers, Porters, Stouts, Ciders, Yuck, IPAs, Pale Ales, anything.
That's not why he forgot. He forgot because he's an alcoholic.
My first barley wine. My first barley wine was one called Old Fog Cutter. The bartender didn't understand what he was serving, and he'd sell a pint of 14% ABV for $3.
What?
The idea to be celebrated is that craft libations are here at a time when people who still enjoy drinking can celebrate and enjoy the options available to us. Am I getting lectured here?
I'm not sure what's going on. Okay. But you know what else? This is the worst thing.
He's friendly, though. This is not a guy totally being passive aggression, too,
because he's saying, hey, you don't know what you're talking about, but you know what? I know everything that I'm talking about.
How
ciders and lambics. Oh, my.
Hey, Oscar, have you literally heard Rob start to feel better during the show today?
It's funny to listen
to him come back. When you come back to San Francisco, you should look up Wilson & Wilson, a speakeasy bar themed on Sam Spade novels, and there is a super secret bar next door that you have to experience. I'm done. Send me a bill for the therapy. Warm regards, Tim O'Day, 51-year-old gray goatee douchebag who loves motorcycles, my wife, and kids.
Yeah. Have fun in the super secret bar, Tim O'Day.
That's sweet.
Need you to unbuckle.
Oh, then he threw in this one. He threw another one in 20 hours ago. Good day, Michael. So that right there, Tim, this is where you went into dick land. Do not call me Michael.
Dickland. Okay.
I'm a little behind on shows, but Patty is a Jameson's product. Found out that visiting the Jameson's distillery in 2007 with my family. Cheers. Okay, that was a humpy letter right there. Yeah, I liked you. Your first one I can accept, Mr. Know-it-all.
Can I rewrite the second letter?
Like. Thank
can
you.
Can I rewrite the second letter in the way he wanted it to be?
Right.
He wanted it to go like this. Dear Michael. Sometimes I travel to Ireland because I'm great. I have a drinking problem, and by making a trip to Europe, it makes it look like it's more fun. Anyways, I went to the Jameson's distillery, and guess what I found out? I found out that I can drink the most. Oh, yeah. Patty's is made by Jameson's. I hate my life. Goodbye. Dan O'Day. Or whatever the hell his name is.
Tim O'Day. Very nice. I appreciate it. I like
that. Why can't people write us in that same manner about stem cell research?
That's because he cares about
that. Wouldn't happen in this country. Yeah. Wouldn't happen in this country.
Oh, he cares about that.
Oh, by the way, you know, and we talk too much politics on this show, but everybody's been talking about politics lately.
Sure.
Did you catch Jeb on the Today Show this morning?
My favorite part is when they said, what do you say when you're accused of being low energy? He said, why not follow me on the trail? I want this.
But you know what he does, Rob? He is a serial stammerer.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to kill him. You have to be a Carly Fiorina if you are going to exist in that market. You're not going to be able to get on there and say, ebbity, 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 ebbity.
Can you imagine
every single answer?
Can you imagine around the table at Thanksgiving when the big, big, big gray woman says, you never spoke as well as your brother?
Well,
I mean, but that's got to break his heart.
You know, W had a little bit of it, but with Jeb, you're hearing him
so much better speaking at him than him.
He is trying to answer critics, and you hear the guy, he'll start a sentence, and then he'll do that reset.
Yeah, he'll lock up.
And it drives me.
It's like his hard drive is skipping.
I'm so curious for people that may have lived in Florida during that era when he ran for governor.
During Big Bush?
I never follow Big Bush. That's it, the Big Bush era. Yes, I'm thinking full Bush.
Full Bush, exactly.
But I'm wondering whether he did that when he was campaigning for governor in the state of Florida, because it to me is an Achilles heel for a politician that can't be overcome.
And you know what?
Can't stand
worse
it.
Now than ever before. What do you think, Mac?
I'm thinking full bush.
I hear you.
There he is.
But as you know, now more than ever in the days of sound bites and isolated little sound clips of people,
yes,
this will murder him. It won't be long before they put together some sort of cut of him on the Today Show.
Like a super cut?
That's just his stammers, and he's going to look like
a
moron.
Is it something that that maybe he can get a professional to help him with?
Sure.
Like they can take
I
care
saw,
of
what's
now?
The king's. I saw the king's speech.
Yes.
He'll get Jeffrey Rush to come in and help him like that. One more time, please. One more time, Jeff.
How do you feel about your brother?
Come on now, Jeb. And then Jeb will be just going, F-F-S-S, bollocks, bollocks, bollocks. You
that'll be good on Nightline, won't it? Yes.
They follow him around for that 60-minute special.
Meanwhile, the Donald getting full. Hey, you know, who cares that there's a hurricane doing a beeline for the coast of the United States? Let's go all Trump all the time on CNN, which they had last night.
Did you hear the latest this morning that it's turning?
that it's turning
the storm is turning away from North Carolina.
Yeah, and they hate it.
Yeah, and they're like, oh no. But
but what they're going
to
do,
gotta watch out in Virginia.
Yeah, they're gonna increase the zone of uncertainty so everybody can worry.
You know, I've been watching this closely because I'm a Floridian and I like to pay attention, and I live on the coast up here as well. But I will tell you that there is a European model. I saw it as clear as day. There's
hello.
A European
how are you,
model.
Darling?
Hello, darling. There is a European model that
underwear.
has this thing turning out to sea.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to talk about. I have a bulletin, and this is a tease for the Friday Mike O'Mara show.
Yes.
We will have an exclusive interview with Hurricane Joaquin. And, you
good
know, find
booking.
Out. He's usually not really forthcoming about telling you where he's going to go, but he has agreed to the interview. And,
appreciate it.
I have it on good authority. It's going to be a better interview than Kim Kelly from Naked and Afraid.
Oh, thank you.
So
thank
I
God.
Think
see.
Be,
we'll see.
It ought to be special. I think that'll be great. What was that? Was that me or you guys?
I believe that was you.
Really? That's
now,
interesting.
You are right on the coast, but you are so far north. Will Joaquin, will it touch you guys up there?
Yesterday,
will it touch you badly?
Yesterday we had the first
the
round
touch.
of the bad
song,
touch. We had
song.
The first round, and I will tell you, it was cranking here. I'm talking about horizontal rain that was coming down. I have a couple of downspouts that come off the front porch. I put my hand under one of them, and if you turned a faucet on and put it as hard as you could, opened it wide, it would not be anything close to the water pressure that was coming out. You don't realize it until you just experience it, and we had a full-fledged pond out in front of our house. Then the rain let up for maybe 15 minutes, and the good news was it was draining, but I was getting a little bit nervous. And you know, up here we're not on the coast directly, but
right, close
everything
enough.
Kind of funnels down to the Oceano Atlantico. And I took the little guy out yesterday just to take a peek and got him back to the house right away because I was freaked out.
Sure.
Because there were so many areas where there was not standing water that I bumped into, but there are so many tributaries that go down to streams, that go into rivers, that go into the Atlantic Ocean, that it freaks you out. And right now you got a lot of parts of the East Coast that are saturated, and they're a little worried about what Joaquin is going to be doing.
I've only stayed at your family's house up there. Are any of the houses up there have basements, or is that a place where there are areas where they don't build houses with basements?
I don't really, you know, they're all so different, and they've been around for so long, I'm not quite sure about that. But there are houses that technically are at sea level.
Ooh.
And that gets a little, the tide was super high right in the middle of the day, right after we taped our show yesterday and our bonus show. The tide was very, very high, and it's scary. You don't realize it until you experience it, that lovely ocean and rain and things like
horrifying.
That, how
can
significant
be.
Mother Nature can be. So people are freaking out, even though there are some models saying this thing's
going
to go.
Do the lobster boats still go out during that type of storm?
Yeah, they're afraid they might get wet.
No. I pretty much, I don't think so. Look, I don't know. There might be offshore lobster boats that go out and maybe have to spend more time. But the day trippers that...
day tripper?
Yeah.
They don't
ticket,
really do it that much. They don't do it.
We are, a lot of people, and I have a hard time wrapping my head around it, where I live in Leesburg, we're very close to the Potomac River.
Yes.
Almost a mile, I mean, less than a mile away. And because of that, the houses that do have basements, their low water threshold. The Chubbicks got their basement flooded from water seeping in.
Not the Chubbicks.
Yeah, the Chubbicks. Oh, Robin and Kristen Chubbick. I know, and they're 30 kids.
Yeah.
Horrible. But
did
no
they have
one
a bucket line?
Did you get a chance to comfort Mrs. Chubbick?
Ooh. I offered her my I offered her some soothing words on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And she's a very sweet lady.
Oh, the best.
A lot of floodings in Leesburg.
Yeah,
a lot of floodings.
You know what? We're lucky. Our basement is actually ground level.
Ah.
So we don't have a subterranean basement. And that's a great. They're playing at Gabe's this weekend. No cover charge.
God.
But but that's one of the lucky things about our house is that we're not a basement that's underground because the water is seeping in everywhere.
Why is that? Why only in Leesburg for the most part?
It has to do, well, you know, I can only comment there because that's where
I know
live.
Exactly what, I can tell you what it has to do with Leesburg and in Northern Virginia and a lot. They pop these subdivisions up and they don't give a rat's ass about the water.
About infrastructure,
They could care less. You deal with it after. Caveat emptor, baby. Buyer beware. I sold my house in the entertainment mecca of Haymarket, Virginia, and I will never forget this. I remember, I had built that house, okay? Yeah. I built that
Break bare hands.
Mm-hmm. I was standing next to the guy when they dug the foundation and poured the concrete. I was there, and I looked down, and I said, gee, Norbert, that looks like it's a swimming hole. And he said, no, it's perfectly normal. Usually when we dig the foundations, there was a river underneath it, and they mediated it, but I never ever should have gone an inch forward. Flash forward to marriages going south and the house needs to be sold.
Sure.
And I had we were 3 days from closing, and as you know, Rob, you were around for that period of my life. Things couldn't have been better.
Oh, aces. And, it was a great time. It was a good time.
I remember, I'm going to just take, we got a pretty heavy rain, and I'm going to go out and just make sure that we got everything out of the basement. And I had a finished basement with some carpeting down in the.
Oh, the worst.
God, that was a beautiful house.
It was a gorgeous house.
That was such a beautiful house.
I saw a picture. I said, whoa. Nice stack
gold
of bricks.
Stairways. And lovely. No, it didn't.
Does Liberace live here or Mike O'Mara?
So I went in.
There was a swimming pool shaped like a microphone.
We had a sump pump because.
Oh, wow.
I went downstairs to do one little walkthrough, and I got down to the landing, and I went squish, squish, squish.
It's the worst.
And this was just a few days before. We ended up still selling the house.
At a discount.
Just, super times. Super good times. Just
have you ever
add that to that. Meanwhile, I was looking for a place to live at that particular time. Yes.
Something a little more, I don't know. Remarkably less formal, something
yes, a little less
more,
formal,
a little nicer. Have you ever
D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
Have you been? Yes. Have you ever been into the basement of a house and watched the water start to seep up through the floor? It is like a horror
That's
film.
Scary.
And, when we lived at Big Daddy's house, and there was one, just it was a daylight. It was a week like this where there was like 8 days of rain, and I went down there. I said, "That's weird. There's like a puddle in the corner." And I went with a towel to wipe
coming
it up.
Coming up under the foundation.
Yeah, and I went to wipe it up, and it came back.
Oh.
Yeah. And then it just started seeping up through the floor, and I was panicked.
Yeah, like, they don't care.
They don't.
When you go look at a farmer's field, and you'll see a farm. It's going to have low spots. They don't care. Just to poop out as many houses as they can. If you're one of those people that owns the house that happens to be in the low area, you are summarily screwed.
I never thought about that. That makes complete sense.
Oscar, someday when you buy your big ranch, you want to make sure it's on higher ground. Don't be in a floodplain. Do not be in a floodplain.
Here.
So,
and our thoughts and prayers go out to the Chubbicks.
Yes. Mrs. Chubbicks, Rob is here for you. Let's take a break. When we come back, it's news you may not need. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Cake and cookies. Rob and Katie.
And it's not really a recipe, but I do shrimp, like a lemon wine sauce with a little bit of cracked red pepper. And then just to put that over pasta.
I guess the best thing I make, Carrie will back me up, I make an excellent chicken and dumplings. Yes.
Oh, I love chicken and dumplings. What's your favorite thing that Carrie makes?
Love.
You made her laugh.
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I do want to mention one more time that we are going to be at the Mad Fox Pub, and we're very excited about this, Wednesday, October 14th. right here in the nation's capital. The entire TMOS crew will be at Mad Fox Brewing Company's Glover Park Tap Room. It's Mike, Oscar, Rob, and all the rest meeting, greeting, and having a ball. Do not miss it. From 6 till 9, come spend some time and have a brew with your favorite podcast buddies. You can get the address and directions at madfoxbrewing.com or write this down. 2218 Wisconsin Avenue Northwest. Got it good. Remember, Wednesday, October 14th at 6 p.m., we will see you at the Mad Fox Brewing Company's Glover Park Tap Room for the happiest hour you have ever experienced, ladies and gentlemen. Come thirsty, leave happy. Join us and feel the love.
The news.
Caitlyn Jenner is off the hook, boys.
Tell me about it. She rocks.
No, I mean it in a different way, Rob. Oh. Thank you. Yesterday, the L.A. District Attorney's Office said they won't be charging her with the Hickler manslaughter for the fatal wreck she was involved in back in February. At the time, she was still Bruce. Basically, they said they wouldn't be able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that she was at fault. And although she may have been driving a little, although she may have been driving a little too fast for the road conditions that day, she was technically below the speed limit. Then why did they say technically she was driving? I don't get it.
Does Caitlin have any comment on this?
What's that?
Does Caitlin have any comments on this good news? Lucky break for her.
Yeah, she's standing out. She lingers. Okay, Caitlin, do you have anything to say?
Totally grateful. Totally grateful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Count your blessings.
Nice, nice.
So there wasn't any negligence. The DA's office said, quote, based on the facts, we can't prove that suspect's conduct was unreasonable. That said, she isn't out of the woods financially. She is still facing a civil lawsuit based on the family of that. So, I don't know. I don't think she had anything to do with it. Matt Damon says he felt sorry for his longtime friend Ben Affleck. Matt Damon has been dropping quotes this week because of the release of The Martian.
The Martian,
and
that's right.
He just says interesting things. I find Matt Damon interesting, and he stands by his buddy, who I believe, I think Ben has made some errors in judgment, it's pretty safe to say, right?
Yeah, true. He's just one man.
But he's made great films, too.
Yeah.
Just a man, flesh and bone, but Matt Damon says he felt sorry for his longtime friend Ben Affleck when he was dating Jennifer Lopez, because during that time, he was being treated like a Kardashian. This is Matt Damon.
Wow. Hilarious.
He told The Hollywood Reporter, quote, "There's nobody who's more misunderstood. 10 years ago, Ben's public image could have not been farther apart from who he actually is. It was like he was being cast in a role, that he was a talentless kid of meathead, a talentless kind of meathead with his whole relationship with Jennifer Lopez. It was painful to be his friend because it wasn't fair, you know? Nobody really got him at all. It sounds extreme, but he's right. Ben's notorious J-Lo era brought us Gigli."
Yes.
And that was the beginning of his slump when he was with her. His slump was bigger than that. His other movies from that period in his life were Daredevil, Paycheck, Surviving Christmas, and Jersey Girl.
Wow.
Yeah, he made
that
some crap.
That better for a time. Like, that was not good for his career.
But
not
then you know what? He bounced. You know what he's great in? Argo. Argo is such a
fantastic.
Good movie.
He turned it around.
Yeah. That was post. That was Jennifer Garner.
Yeah. So thank God.
And now he's apart from Jennifer Garner. We're going to have to see what happens.
Batman
with
versus Superman.
That's right.
Yeah. We're going to see if it's a turkey. Because
I hope it's good, man. Just not just for him, but for the overall franchise in general.
And I hope The Martian is good, because otherwise next Christmas they're going to buy another zoo.
By the way, The Martian 91, I believe. Critics 91 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Rolling Stone was all over how great it is. They say it's fantastic.
And
can't
I think,
wait.
You know what? What I love is when the only way they can knock it is when they call it predictable. Well, thank you. Make it predictable.
Yeah.
I like an old-fashioned Hollywood movie. Make it fun, okay? It doesn't need to be.
Don't fade
cute
to black. Make me
clever.
Think too much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Jerks.
So, looking forward to seeing that.
Hollywood jerks.
The National Toy Hall of Fame in Rochester, New York.
All boys and girls love toys.
And then, by the way, I should pronounce the name correctly. It's Rochester, not Rochester. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Every little boy and girl needs a toy. It just announced the 12 nominees for this year's class, everybody. As usual, it's a weird mix of stuff that's really specific and too modern to be a classic, or so obvious and old-fashioned that it seems like it should be a category.
All right.
The nominees are American Girl dolls.
Boo!
Do you know these?
Those are too new.
Well, no, they've been around a while.
Yeah, but
here's
too new as far as Hall of Fame type.
And
of thing.
And you know what? Way too expensive. And
how much are they?
Oh, they can go real expensive. Man. And the accessories, forget about it.
Battleship is the next one.
Classic.
I'm all for that. Super Soaker water guns.
Fun.
Yeah, they revolutionized water.
Especially on a wet t-shirt.
Water gunnery,
on a chick over 18. Yeah.
Jenga. That's one. That's good. Playmobil figures. Playmobil?
Or Playmobil. Playmobil.
Sure.
Yes.
All right. Wiffle ball. I guess that's a cat. It would seem like that would be a category.
Play that when you're drunk.
Twister, you got to give it to Twister.
Oh, yes, yeah. Especially Naked Twister. Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to ask Kim Kelly about that.
That's right.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, that's where that's where the age discrepancy rears its head in this studio. Mm-hmm. I got no use
Turtle
for
Turtle Power.
TMNT. Yeah.
Also, the spinning top, coloring books. Coloring books? Oh, that's pretty generic, isn't it?
Coloring books.
The scooter and puppets.
Oh, it's a great day to be Tommy Lang.
See, we're Americans. We want everything to be branded, you see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No specific kind, just puppets generally. Two of those votes will get voted in by a panel of toy experts. So out of all those things I mentioned, they're only going to put two in there. I would go with Battleship and Twister.
Yeah, I think that's strong. Icons. I think that's good, yeah.
Uh-huh. They'll be inducted on November 5th. Last year, there were three inductees, Green Army Men. That
great.
Makes me laugh. The Rubik's Cube. And bubbles.
Bubbles are good. Bubbles.
It's just funny when they have these generic, wiffle ball, bubbles. Thank you.
And what a suck hall of fame to visit. Can't touch anything.
Yeah. Hey, but it's a great city. Got a good golf course up
there. I hear you.
A flight attendant reportedly earned around $1 million over a 2-year period by having sex with plane passengers in the toilet.
Oh.
Yes, the Mile High Club. The scale of the woman's business only came to light when she was caught in the plane loo recently, and she was fired right after that. It is reported that she was working for an airline in the Middle East. A source claims she admitted that she had sex with many other passengers during flights and that she preferred long-distance flights between the Persian Gulf and the United States.
Is she referring to her own Persian Gulf there? Or?
Not quite, but that's significant. Airline sources believe the woman charged almost $2,000 for the Mile High moment, an amount close to what she would earn during the overseas back and forth. A Middle Eastern paper reports that she was not only fired after this came to light, but she was also deported. And I guess in that part of the country, you're lucky you don't get stoned.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the kind with marijuana, everybody.
Hey, am I right, ladies? In my pants.
Was it like a Craigslist ad that would end up on a flight? Or
I'm not sure.
You stumble into first class and say, would you like this? And
the code word is this, is that I'd like the full can, is what you say when they're doing drink service.
The full game. That rocks. He's so much feeling better than when he came in today. Just 38%.
You make me feel brand new.
Thank you. Just 38% of recent college graduates from 2006 on strongly agree that their education was worth its price. A new Gallup-Purdue Index study finds 8% felt strongly that it wasn't worth it. The number rises to 50% for all college graduates, more than 30,000 total who were surveyed. The average amount of student debt for a 2015 graduate is $35,000. Want to make sure your kids feel his education is worth its hefty price tag? Encourage him to develop relationships with the faculty. Alumni who felt their professors cared about them, whose professors got them excited about learning, or who had mentors were much more likely to believe their education was worth the cost.
Also,
a little survey
in
this room. Boys, you feel like it was worth it?
Yes.
You feel like your education was worth it?
And you know what? I do, and I'm still in touch with two of my professors.
Yeah, you are.
So, I mean, I do. But that's you know cool. what? I learned stuff, but really it was the entree to internships. But you can't do that without college anymore.
And
Oscar, you think yours was worth it?
Yes.
Which time?
When I was younger, definitely, because they helped me find my first internship at WHFS.
Sure.
In the D.C. area.
See, I got it. You just said that, and I changed. I pivoted right there because I was thinking, I was going to say, should have gone to Europe. And then I said to myself, no, really, I got all my opportunities coming out of American University.
Yeah, true enough.
That was cool. And now a little something. 51-year-old Martin Eugene Hoyer of Wenatchee, Washington, went on a meth binge a few weeks ago. During the second day of the binge, he hallucinated that, quote, Mexicans in the trees were getting ready to attack him and his female neighbor. So he decided to step up and defend her. He grabbed his gun, shoved it in his waistband, and tried to break into her place to take on the imaginary Mexicans.
Yes.
But when he lifted his leg to kick in the door, his gun went off and he shot himself in the scrotum. There we go, everybody. Wow. The neighbor heard the gunshot, then heard Martin say, quote, ow. That's about the
good quote.
Yeah, that's the only understated thing he did in this entire chain of events. He was taken to the hospital and treated for his injuries. He's been charged with assault, harassment, and unlawful possession of a firearm. I wonder if they'll let him wear his Make America Great Again hat in prison.
Thank you all very much. I'll be here all week. All right, we're going to take a break.
Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike Romero Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Gary Stein.
This week on the show, the comedian Godfrey.
You ever seen Olympic badminton? It's no joke.
That's ridiculous. That's
isn't that with the shuttle thing?
It's got to be
shuttlecock.
Fun to watch.
Shuttlecock.
You can say
shuttlecock.
You can say you can no, say as long as shuttle is attached.
Is attached to it.
Right. You said already.
So yeah, yeah. But something's got to be attached
cock your gun.
To it.
Cock your
cock
gun, you
your
can
gun.
Say.
Yeah.
Shuttlecock. That's okay.
Right.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Yes.
Doodle-doodle-cock.
Yeah, have
no,
a cock no,
that
gun.
You can't doodle the cock, but you can cock a doodle.
Not doodle the cock.
No, no.
You can cock a doodle.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Man, he gets out of that Anchor studio and lets his hair down, doesn't he?
That promo that upset show. My wife. She says, what is Tony doing?
That's great. I love that. Fantastic. The Tony Perkins Show. Check it out. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I want to talk to you employers out there. I want to talk about getting the right people in the positions that you need to fill. I will tell you that hiring qualified employees is one of the hardest parts about being a business owner. You also know that it's extraordinarily important to do it correctly. Face it, your company is only as good as the people you hire, and I want to tell you all about ZipRecruiter.com.
Hell yeah.
To find the best, you can't rely on one single job posting, and when you're already short-staffed, you don't have time to deal with dozens of different job sites. Right now, ZipRecruiter steps in to help you. You can post to over 100 job sites at ZipRecruiter.com, and you can do it with one single click. Instantly matched to the best candidates from over 6 million resumes. 6 million. If you are filling a position, this is where you want to go. Real ZipRecruiter clients say that ZipRecruiter takes the torture out of the hiring process, and it is, I quote, faster, easier, and the source for their best employees. ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. Give it a try. Please do. You can try ZipRecruiter today. It's free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS and get started. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Don't wait. Try it for free right now at ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. And if you want some links, today we're going to be putting up some links on our Facebook pages.
Absolutely.
So you can get right to ZipRecruiter.com. So check them out. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Thursday, October 1st. Happy October, everybody. Rob Spiewak, take it away.
Mike, I believe it's Rocktober.
Rocktober.
And I believe you have now lost your voice once again. Now it's dry, right? It's not a question of clearing your throat. It's a question of dryness.
His basement
right?
is flooding, Mike.
No, I'm fine. The people screening calls at Headline News need to work a little harder.
Okay.
There's a show called The Daily Share, and they were doing a piece about Edward Snowden, and they tried to find someone on Skype to defend
him. Oh, I saw this. This is great.
They were going to defend Edward Snowden.
Okay.
But this guy is clearly defending Edward Scissorhands. Listen, this aired on Headline News.
Do you think Snowden's actions were worth that risk?
Like, he could. Absolutely, he could have. But I think to cast him out, to make him invalid in society, simply because he has scissors for hands, I mean, that's so strange because, I mean, people didn't get scared until he started sculpting shrubs into dinosaur shapes and whatnot.
All right, well, now Snowden's living in Russia. At Chris Zapp tweeted this. Dear Edward Snowden.
She just goes on.
She's not even listening.
Russian misinformation campaign going on. Listen, some people say it's hypocritical that Snowden has asylum in Russia. Russia has a lot of human rights violations.
Well, yeah, casting him out is just completely wrong. We're treating him like an animal, like somebody who should be quarantined and put away. Just because he was created on top of a mountain by Vincent Price and incomplete with scissors for hands and no heart, Edward Scissorhands is a complete hero to me.
But what about the choice that he made?
Oh,
to
my
live
God,
in
she's still got. What about the people,
I mean,
in the booth?
You know, we cast him out. Like, we got scared when he poked a hole in a waterbed with his scissor finger. Like, that was just unreasonable of us.
Well, John, I appreciate you giving us your opinion.
I have a theory, Mike.
Unbelievable bubblehead.
About the guys in the booth. Remember what we found out about Larry King?
That's right. Laughing their asses off.
They don't
while
like
she
him.
Is
they don't
that.
Like that's him. Right. And
so they
probably
going to help her. They were
not
going to help her.
Nobody's going to help unless she's got a trusted floor manager or producer.
God. That's the way it
goes. Do you still take most of your news from Fox News 10 in Phoenix?
Oh, of course. Yes, I'm a regular viewer.
Well, yesterday on the morning show, they sent. He looks like he might be like their Holly Morris. Their guy that goes out and does stuff
right. on the street.
The celebrity, the celebrity he most resembles is Sam Champion.
Okay.
And he was covering a high school marching band. And just so you know what happens in the clip, he walks into the band, tries to mic a tuba, and drops the microphone in the tuba. Now, the tuba, or sousaphone, as is explained, is a metal instrument, and it's a wireless mic, so he loses his sound. I just really enjoyed this.
I like to wade into the band. You know I love the tuba. It's one of my favorite instruments. Listen to this.
He lost his mic down the tuba.
That's not a tuba, by the way.
Oh, what is it?
It's a sousaphone.
Oh, a sousaphone.
Did he get it out?
It looked like
it's stuck in the valve someplace.
No.
Uh-oh, boy, are you going to get yelled at?
He's going to have to buy that guy a new instrument. Oh, there it is.
Victory. We'll see you again soon.
What a great moment.
Love live TV.
Speaking of live TV, yesterday on the Today Show, comic Whitney Cummings was on. She's very funny. And she was on with Hoda and Kathy Lee, so I guess she drew a short straw. When they cut to her, she was laying down on the counter in the kitchen set. And on the rebroadcast, which was where I watched it, there was a really ham-handed edit. Apparently, when she got up from laying down, she did a pretty significant crotch flash on national television.
Oh, she's wearing a dress?
Yeah. And this is how she covered it, and I laughed out loud.
That was quite the...
There's no way, but my legs touched.
No way.
Did you guys see my penis?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I tucked it pretty well.
Did I not tuck it under well enough?
Oh, my God.
I gotta get better rubber bands.
We were a little worried about you.
I did give a live gynecological exam this morning on NBC. You're welcome.
So there's that.
And she's got the sexy going on,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she does.
She can do that kind of shtick. That's
Let's
great.
Close with my new favorite song,
I'm
Mike.
I'm so misogynistic what I just
she
said.
She got that sexy.
She's a pretty lady. She can do that.
That
an ugly woman,
fly.
We wouldn't want to have that gynecological comment. Yes, sirree, Mr.
You wear pants,
man.
Margaret Cho.
Yes, there you go.
We're going to close with my new favorite song. It's called Moving Up, and it's by Honey Boo Boo, who, by the way, is not missing any meals.
You know what? Do me a favor.
Yeah.
Just a taste.
Okay.
And then on tomorrow's show,
we will
break it down. We will open up the show with
Let's go to the clip.
I love my mama, too.
Yeah, that's all you're going to get today, everybody.
All right.
Tomorrow, you better stay tuned because we're going to break that Honey Boo Boo down on Friday's show. Absolutely.
And then let's close real quick with this. Seth Meyers noted a pretty big milestone that Tom Brady hit this past weekend.
Tom Brady last night became just the fourth quarterback in history to throw for over 400 touchdowns, which works out to 320 when you adjust for inflation.
That's your Magic Audio Ball. Nice. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
That's it. We got to get out of here. Another Michael O'Meara show has come and gone, everybody. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MichaelO'MearaShow.com. If you want to correspond with us, send anything you want to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177 to get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag. It's Rob with two Bs at MichaelO'MearaShow.com. We rely on your word of mouth. Tell a friend or family member about TMOS. Make sure they get it, too. For Rob Smuak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Meara inviting you to join us again for another episode of The Mike O'Meara Show.
Bye.
Ciao.
Hey, not so fast, Mr. Big Shot. I got to tell you that MikeO'MearaShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So shop Amazon and use our website. Always open at MikeO'MearaShow.com/Amazon. Now go in peace.
Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.